Good morning. Okay. Good morning.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
Exhausting, tiring, freezing, any number of the ing words, all of the above. Well, it's great to see you all here today. This is our last chapel of the semester, the chapel where we wrap everything up and before you guys head on into finals and head back. And so part of that is the evaluations which you are now filling out. The first form is this chapel valuation. And if you follow the directions, you just want to let us know what three chapels or what three speakers were the most meaningful to you and what three speakers or chapels were probably not the most meaningful. And this just kind of gives us an idea what was more impactful and kind of gives us a blueprint for the future. Not that it's all about what we like, but it sometimes gives us an idea of the ideas we have, whether they worked out the way we thought. And, of course, any additional comments. And if you would fulfill the statistical information so we can kind of break it down and kind of know across all the criteria what is going on. And the second one, was asked to be passed out by a pastor who is coming to speak in the spring. And he just kind of wanted to know, what was the spiritual state at Barclay? And so you have these kind of questions. You can answer them. If I died right now before finishing the survey, I'd be in heaven. Are you sure? Are you not? And so don't mess with the, don't lie and screw up the answers. You'll think it's, you guys are a bunch of heathens. Be honest, so you'll think you're kind of a bunch of heathens. I don't know. You just answer it and go, I'm not sure, but we said we'd pass that out. And so make sure you read the directions. Number one is you're absolutely sure, and number four is no way. And so if you always think like four is the best and one is the worst, your answer, oh, is there, all right. So make sure that we don't have people here. He goes, oh, wow, 50% not going to heaven, they think. And so that's going to change that sermon. So if you would do that, if you'll finish that in the next few minutes, we're going to have some announcements. The first announcement is, speaking of evaluations, you should have already gotten an email about class evaluations. And class evaluations is very important to the college. This is where we want to hear from you to see what did you like or dislike about the classes you are taking. And we do value it. We do value your voice. A couple things, though. One is we want to be, what's the word? We want to be helpful. And so I guess it'd be helpful to you to know what kind of goes through our head when we read them. We gather around, I know in the Bible Ministry Division, we look at it together. And so one thing we discount is vitriol and hatred. So that is not helpful in the sense of if you go on the thing and go, I hate this class, or I hate this professor, that's not helpful to us. And so we kind of just kind of discount that as a free radical. You can dislike something about the class, but be specific. Hey, the class was good, but that book, wasn't sure that book was very helpful. Or, hey, they didn't give us enough time to do this test. These things we can work with. And matter of fact, if there are productive comments, we do listen and do sometimes adjust our curriculum because sometimes it goes, wow, you know, they're right. I didn't give you enough time to do this assignment or that test was probably too hard. And kind of getting that feedback helps us. But if you're going in thinking we can get this guy fired or we can get this class removed, if everyone hates, you know, basket weaving, we'll remove basket weaving. No, that doesn't work that way. This is more to help us in kind of the curriculum. So everyone understand? How many of you filled out evaluations? Woo, all right, good. The second thing is your final slips. I don't know if they have gone out yet or if you have them, but it's very important that you get your final slips signed before you go. We as the professors are not supposed to give the final out if you don't have your final slip, and there's a lot of signatures to be had. One, of course, is enrollment. If you have not enrolled yet, you cannot get it signed and therefore cannot take the final. So make sure you get enrolled for the spring semester. Yes?
Uh-huh.
No, you have to come back in order to complete this semester. Yes, we got you. No, I think if you go and get it signed and you let them know you're not coming back, they'll sign it, right?
Yes, if they let me know they're not returning, I've signed it
already. Yeah, okay, so it's already been signed. You are not trapped here in this kind of twilight zone of not finishing, can't leave. But no, that's a good question. It should already be signed if you're not coming back. But I do hope and pray you all do come back. So, any other questions? Okay. So make sure you do your evaluations. Tiffany, do you want to talk about dorm kind of procedures going into Christmas break?
Okay, well, a couple things. First of all, with Christmas break and with people not coming back, if you are not planning to return, you all should have received an email from me yesterday about that. If you're not planning to return, please let me know by this week. We are trying to figure out all of the housing and all of that with new students coming in, as well as any sort of changes. So for the guys, if you're not coming back, let me know and let Daryl know, or your RA or whatever, all of them, it doesn't matter. If you're switching rooms for the guys, talk to Daryl and your RAs. But I need to know who's not coming back. If there's people here, because there's a lot of people missing that aren't here that you know aren't coming back, please encourage them to let me know as well. Girls, we've talked about this too, but same thing. If you're not coming back or need to make switches with your rooms, that could happen as well, so let me know. Other than that, just so you know, if you are making any sort of switch, switching roommates, switching rooms, switching from Coppock to Lewis, whatever it is, that needs to happen before Christmas break. We are hoping to have about 20 to 25 new students coming in the spring. Excuse me. And so we need to have those dorm rooms ready before you leave. If that doesn't happen, there's going to be housekeeping fees and all sorts of trash and stuff that we'd have to take care of. And so those switches have to happen before Christmas break. So we need to know that now so we can plan for all of that. So please talk to me and Daryl so we can figure that out. And we'll go from there.
How's it going? You guys are probably getting tired of me coming up here and giving announcements, but you're going to have to deal with it probably for the rest of the year, so get used to it. All right, so I'm here to announce the Christmas get-together movie night thing. Again, it is tomorrow at 8:30 in the cafeteria, which I forgot to tell you guys where it was last time. So yeah, and remember to wear the ugliest sweater you can possibly find that's still Christmassy, so you can win the ugly Christmas sweater prize, and so we can all have a good laugh too. So, thank you.
Are there any other announcements we need to be made aware of? No? Part of this last chapel too is praying for, celebrating, encouraging those who are graduating this fall semester, graduating at Christmas. And this semester we only had three, and I believe we have two here. So if you are graduating this Christmas, this semester, would you please come up? This is the time, kind of in miniature, what we do in the spring where we try to embarrass you and pray for you and bless you as you kind of go on. And so, kind of quick questions. What's your name and your major?
My name is Jesse Waller. Hello. And my major is missions.
My name is Elizabeth Herbel, and my major is general studies, and I'm graduating with an associate's degree.
Big question kind of is, what drew you to Barclay in the first place?
Well, there was an old lady at my church. she told me about this place and said I should check it out. And you know, Barclay, it's really cheap here, so the free tuition definitely was a 90% factor.
We prefer value. rather than cheap.
Mine's not any better. I Googled Berklee College. No, actually, I Googled small Christian colleges in Kansas, and Berklee was the first one to pop up.
What is, I guess, one thing that you're going to take away from Berklee that you will remember fondly about your time here?
Oh, man. See, they didn't tell us these questions beforehand. I guess I'm hoping that, you know, in the journey of life that I will run into some of you guys, and the connections that are made here hopefully will help to propel my future. And I'm excited to see you guys, and so I guess community and fellowship would be two things. And just the teachers here have been really instrumental in discipling me and helping me figure out just what God's leading me to do.
What is one thing you're going to take away from Berklee that you would remember fondly, or one thing you appreciate about your time here at Berklee?
The community, definitely. When I grew up, I never had a really tight-knit group of people to actually talk to and to hang out and to have the same beliefs that I have. And that same goes for, like, the faculty and the students and the staff here at Berklee. They're all just so welcoming, and they're just Christ-centered, and I never had that, so.
Let us know, where do you see yourself after this a year from now, and where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Well, as soon as I graduate here, I'll be going home to Idaho to be with my family for about 3 weeks, and then I'll be going out to Twin Rocks Friends Camp to lead us a program called Summer Staff, a college-age program, so I'll be out there from January till the fall. I'm in the process of discerning, but I wanted to go to China next fall with the Teaching Abroad program through Northwest Yearly Meeting. And so I'm kind of headed in that direction. Unless God closes the door, I think that's where I'll be 1 year from now. You said 10 years? Wow. Well, I'm hoping to be married. So, you know, this is the classic. You know, 10 years, I'm thinking I'll probably have a few kids if I'm married, and I hope I'm just serving Jesus 10 years from now, and that I'm being a good witness to what he's done in my life.
A year from now, I know I am going to transfer to another college and get my English degree there, and hopefully graduate in a couple more years with an English degree. And 10 years from now, I think, I hope I'm married and have like little kids running around the house. And hopefully I'll be an English teacher, hopefully abroad somewhere, because I feel like that's what God's calling me, and to be a great witness for him.
I believe in the audience we have some freshmen, some people new to Berklee. If you could impart a piece of advice to someone who is new here, what would it be?
I say just invest in the people. Don't get stuck on yourself and how you're feeling. Kind of say, you know what, for whatever reason, you know, am I following God? I'm here at this time. And you can look around, see there's some people in the room. This is where you're at right now. These are the people that are in the same room as you. Take maybe just a time to talk to a couple of them, and I think that'll make your time here go a lot better.
I would advise to get to know your community, get to know the people around you, because they're here for a reason, just like you. And they're going through some of the big struggles that you're going through. And it's not good to keep it to yourself. Like, let them know how you feel, and they'll let you know right back that they're going through the same problems. And I guess another thing is, let Christ follow, or let Christ lead your life and control your life. I know for me, I've done my own thing for like the first year at Barclay, and that did not go well. So if you let Christ follow Christ, let God control your life.
Well, as I said at the beginning, we want to congratulate you and pray for you. And so let's get the congratulation done. Will you give these two a round of applause? And for prayer, I would ask that if we have any faculty or staff here, if you would come up. And if there's anyone out here who'd like to come up and lay hands on, and we'll have a corporate prayer for these two as they start their journey. And so faculty and staff, if any students want to come forward as well, we want to lay hands on them and pray for them in this journey.
Father, it's just awesome to be with Jesse and Elizabeth and to know that in their heart of hearts, they have a passion for reaching the lost, Jesus, as you revealed that to us. And they're using the gift that you have given them, both of them, education, English, reaching into people's lives, empowering them. Lord, and being a witness to how you're at work in their lives. Lord, I thank you for this message today that Elizabeth shares, that we find life when we just resign ourselves, Jesus, to follow you and let you work out the details of our lives, that we become attentive to you. And Lord, as Jesse wrestles with his plans here to get married, have that catch up with the Muslims and having a lot of children. Well, maybe not. Anyways, and also Elizabeth and what you're calling them to do, Lord, I ask God that you will continue to work things out, that they will have that centeredness and confidence in you as you work things out in our lives. Bless them today. Help them know how much they're loved, how much they're cared for. And I thank you for the opportunity to get to know both of them in the classroom. Jesus, it's great to be a part of your family, a part of your mission, a part of your future. In your name, amen.
Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you. We are going to end this chapel with a time of praise and worship, but before we do, I know many of you are under deadlines and commitments right now. Lots of assignments due, lots of writing, finals coming. How many of you are a little bit pressed for time? How many of you are a little bit stressed? These things happen. And this time, I'm not saying it's all bad. It's exciting, and it's probably what you imagine college would be like when you were younger, this idea of pulling an all-nighter and Mountain Dew coursing through your veins as you're trying to get this project done, and how do I write this in a way so he doesn't know I don't know what I'm talking about, these things. But I want you to be very aware that it's not all about the assignments, and it's not always about the test. And I think sometimes what we can lose in the excitement of getting things done is A, our community, and B, sometimes our connection and focus on Christ. And that happens. And here's the thing. Life will not always be in perfect balance. You will have times when you have to go full speed ahead. However, what has the world taught us? That full speed ahead is the only speed you can go. That you always have to have deadlines, you always have to have commitments, you always have to earn your way to the top. And Scripture teaches us that there are these natural rhythms of grace that are completely contrary to the world. And so what I'm telling you is focus on your work, because God is not opposed to effort. Focus on giving your best to it, but don't lose focus on why you are here. Don't spend so much time earning your grades and earning your degree that you forget why you are here, because God called you to train you and then to use you. And so if you earn your degree but lose Christ, what has it gained you? The very person who called you. And so what I want to do now is take a short time, 3 to 5 minutes, I'm not asking much, for us to just sit in silence, to center down. And what I don't want you to do is think about these deadlines, think about these commitments. I want you to seek first the kingdom, seek first Christ. And I want you just to be still in this moment and realize God has given us these natural rhythms that are meant, night and day, our breathing, these rhythms that are meant to bless us. And it's only when we get so ahead of ourselves that these rhythms go out of whack. And so I want to read some scripture to you, and then we're going to have a time of centering in silence. I'd like to read Psalm 46 to you. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here tomorrow, here today, and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that everyone here be aware that you are present among us and you are cheering us on to run the race. And Father, when we build monuments to your glory, when we traverse the world to spread your gospel, when we do wonderful and mighty and great things, you cheer us on. But when we fail and we stumble and our plans don't come to fruition and our monuments crumble and we don't reach our goals, we don't meet our expectations, we don't accomplish what we wanted to, you cheer us on, because it's not about what we do. It's about who you are. Your love is not rooted in whether I succeed or fail. Your love is rooted on whether I recognize that I cannot succeed without you. Father, I pray that your spirit of peace, your spirit of stability, of strength, would embody each and every student as they finish strong. Father, I pray just at this moment right now, we would let our cares melt away and stand before you celebrating, because no matter what may happen outside of these walls, we are yours and you are our God. We worship you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us respond to that truth of knowing that our God is good and our God fills us. Let us respond in worship. So will you please stand and worship with us?